Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Mem Days. We're starting at the very top of the Yomid. Brand new Mishnah. Not so brand new because we learned it about a week ago in the Gemara. Hamafkin Mois Eitzel Chaveroi. A person gave a pikodin of Mois to his Chaver. And Tzoron V'Hefshilin La'achoyrev. What did the person do? He took the money, he put it into a nice bundle. Tzoron, lotion of bundling it, like putting it in a nice wallet, putting it into a purse, what have you. However, instead of holding it in front of him, V'Hefshilin La'achoyrev, he went and put it on his back, reminiscent of the Yidden when they left Mitzrayim, when they had the Issa Tzurois of Shechmam. It was bundled, but it was on their back. And as a result, putting it on your back is not a good idea. Number one, because what happens if the Tzuroir, if this bundle of money falls out from behind you? Let's say he has a knapsack, like some of our Choshevah members have, and it falls out of the knapsack. And or there's a pickpocket who's stealing. He won't even know that this is happening. So the Mishnah is going to say in a moment that if this were to occur, this is a pshia, this is negligence on the part of this shomer, and therefore he's going to be chayiv if in fact it gets lost or it gets stolen. But that's not the only example. Oyshe mosam lebnoi ulebitak tanim. What happens if he handed over these mois to his young kids, less than bar mitzvah? Now, our gears and our Mishnah is v'nol b'fneim shaloi karoi. And it's not only that he left it in the hands of his children, his young children, but also he left the door open, or at least he didn't lock it properly. And guess what happened? And the monies were stolen. Chayiv, this person is chayiv, shaloi shimer k'derech hashomrim, because he didn't do a good shmir. He was pusheya. He was negligent. And therefore, he's got to pay. However, if he did do a good job, then you're okay, then he's potter. Again, because if we're talking about a Shem Achinam is only Chayiv B'Pshia, he's potter B'Gnei V'Aveda, so if he properly put it away, and then unfortunately Aganav broke into his house, in other words, he locked the door the way you're supposed to, he went away for a day, and guess what happened? Aganav surreptitiously went in and broke through the door, made a tunnel, whatever, and he stole the funds. Then he's not Pesha, he did what he was supposed to, and he'll be potter. Now, in our Mishnah, we seem to have two cases. The first case that we had at the start of the Mishnah was Tzroran v'fshilem l'achoyrev. Instead of putting it in front of him, he put it in back of him. In other words, if you want to go and take this bundle of money, what you should have done is, if you want a dafka, go and carry it on your shoulders, make it in the form like a necklace, and have the monies in front of you, instead of having the monies in back of you. The second problem was, if he gave it to his younger children. We already had in the Gemara earlier, the Gemara is going to quote it again today, when a person hands over funds, or hands over any type of pikodain to a shomer, he's entitled to go and give that shmira and share it with his immediate household members, with his wife, with his children. We'll see in the Gemara even with his mother. However, the children have to be of age. If they are underage, if they're below bar mitzvah, they're la b'nei dea, they don't have sufficient maturity to realize that this is something that they have to give proper shmira. And he left the door open in front of them, shaloi karoi, therefore he is chayv. Says the Gemara, mishloi makulu, I understand all the cases, shloi shimer k'derech hashoimer. If he didn't do a proper shmira, then he's chayiv. El etzroran v'efshilin l'achoyrev may have a leila mebed. But if you're talking about etzroran v'efshilin l'achoyrev, what did he do wrong? He put it into a nice bundle, and he put it in back of him, and he carried it normally. Well, what's wrong? Amarav, Rabbi Yitzchak, Amakrot says in the pasuk v'tzar tekesef biyodcha. This is a pasuk which is referring to taking up master sheni money to Yerushalayim. Instead of going and schlepping all the master sheni, which might have been a ton of tvua and peiros, Kadosh Baruch Hu says in the Torah, if you want to, if you cannot go and schlep at all, you're allowed to go and be mechalid on money and take the money. Now, why does it say v'tzarta kesef biyodcha? It just go and say v'tzarta kesef imoy, or just v'tzarta kesef. Biyodcha tells you alfa bisha tzrurin, even if you did a good job in bundling the money together, you biyodcha, but they should be in your hands. Now, literally, of course, that would mean in your hand. So the Meforshim say, Lav Davki Cheski, we started about 2 minutes ago. We're three lines after the Mishnah, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So what the Meforshim say is the word Biyodcha is Lav Davki, just means that it should be within his eyesight. So he doesn't have to necessarily hold in his hands the whole time. He can put it in his front pockets, so to speak. Or if he's putting it around his neck, it's like an amulet, he sees it. The point is that he doesn't lose sight of it, as opposed to the case where he puts it lachoyrov, that becomes problematic, because if it falls out, if it's stolen, he might not realize it until some time later. Well, now, we'll get to your question in a moment. The question that the Meforshim ask is, we start the Gemara, Mishle Makulu Shloishimra Kederch Hashem. All the cases I understand. The Tzoron Vifshil Achoyrov case, that I don't understand. May have a little maybe. Now, when it says Kulu, it sounds like there must be a whole bunch of cases. But if you go to our Mishnah, we really only had two cases altogether. We had the first case about the Sifshilon La'achirov, and then we had the second case about giving it Lebnoi Ulebite Haktanim, the Norbef Neim Shaloi Kiro'ui. That was case number two. If that's the case, the Gemara should say now, Bishloim in the case of the Bnoi Haktanim, the Norbef Neim Shaloi Kiro'ui, I can understand, Yechayiv. But what do you do with it? The Lashon Kulu sounds like there are a whole bunch of cases. So now you're going to go and tell me that maybe the Nor B'fneim Shalei Karoi is a separate case. In other words, maybe we have three cases in the Mishnah. We have the Tzor Mishil Nachoyev is case number one. He gave it to Ketanim is case number two. And Nor B'fneim Shalei Karoi is case number three. However, Rashi back in Daf Lamed Vav, you'll all recall, combines case number two and case number three together as if it's one. If you look at the Rashi on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, all the way on the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara quotes our Mishnah. You see four lines from the bottom. Amavkin Mois Eitz Chaver Tzor Mishil Achoyrov. Now look at the Rashi. Mosrim Libnoi says Rashi. Oy Shem Mosrim Libnoi B'Yotikdanim. So Hifshil Achoyrov is case one. Oy Mosrim Libnoi is case two. Bifneim Bifnei Oysim Haktanim. Oh, when it says in the Mishnah Bifnoi Bifneim Shloi Kiroi. Before those ketanim, we're not talking about a case number three. This is just a continuation of case number two, that he put the precordin with those ketanim, and he left the door improperly closed. It was not locked. Maybe the door was open, maybe it was closed, but it wasn't locked properly. So that the children shouldn't run around, and then somebody will say, oh, I see there's a nice bundle of money there on the table, or whatever. So you see that Rashi combines the two last parts here, the Mosom of Noi B'Toy Atanen, the Nobel's name Shalei Karoi, as if it's one case. If that's the case, the Loshen HaGemor is Taka Bisle Shveh B'Shloim HaKulu Shloi Shime Keder Chasham. So in fact, others disagree. The Rosh in the back of the Yomid, if you want to look it up, you're welcome to do so. In my Gemara, it's on page Lamed in the back. It's in the, when it comes to the Rosh, it's easy to find. It's Perek Shlishi at the top. And then on page Lamed, looking at, you see what it says, Chof Itmar Rav Levi. You have that, Barry, you have that? Okay, now skip to Mishnah, which is five lines further. Masnisim. Hamavkin Moise Tzachavere. Tzora Mishil Lachoyrev. Oy, Shemoslim Lebedin Tzachatanim. Oy, Nobafnim Shloi Kuroi. So he divides it up into three separate cases. Takaraya from our Gemara. If you look at there's a Chof over there, the Chof takes it down to the Pilpul Acharifta, which is on the fourth line, Oy Noal. Vachen Girsa Sarif. Avo Bemishta Shemi Gemara in our Mishta. Hagirsa Vinoal. Upirish Rashi Le'el Daf Lamed Vov, that's the Rashi we just looked up. Takta'anim Koy. Vinmuki Yosef Oichiach Tal Korchach Tar Tiktori. He says, I have a Befei Sharai that Rashi is wrong, and the Rosh and the Rifs Girsa is correct. What's the Raya? Midamrin, and it says, Bishloi Makulu. Well, the Rashi, Leke Elechode. It's not as if we have multiple cases. We only have the two cases. Hilkach, Venoal, Miltzabab, Benavshi, Sheinicham, Beteva, Ube, Beisoi, Venoal. So therefore, says the Pilpul Charif, the Beshem, the Mukiyosef, and the Mukiyosef was Mechiach, he brought a Raya that the real Girsa should be three separate cases, not two separate cases, by the fact that it says Kulu, as opposed to simply saying that Bishloim in the case of the Ketanim, I understand, Shloi Shima Kederach HaRoi, Shloi Kederach HaShomrim, but if Shima Chorim, what did he do wrong? Anyway,
so the source of Shas also cites that, but it's just
beautiful. Shkoyach. So Rabbi says we have a machloikis in our Mishnah whether Noel Bafneim Shloikaroi is a separate case, is case number three, or it's a continuation of case number two. But in the meantime, this young man had a question.
Yeah, if the person tells them ahead of time that he's not going to be a good shomer, and that there is a risk if he, by giving him the money, would that make any difference?
In the shomer says to the mafkid that he's not going to be a good shomer?
Yeah, like, for example, like the case of the knapsack, you're traveling and you say, look, I don't have anywhere else to put the money, it's going to be in my knapsack, it's going to be in the back, or in the case with a child, you want a person wants to send money with you, you say, I'm not traveling, but my child is traveling, I'll send the money with him, or you keep the money in your house, but you say, oh, my house is a place that people come and go all the time, the door is always open, so ahead of time, he tells me that there is a risk by letting me keep
the money. So, presumably, this person is not going to be shown much longer when people hear that he has an open door policy and that he's constantly traveling. Most of the people will say, I'm going to go and give it to Shmir, to somebody else. But what happens if he's the only shomer in town?
With the tools.
Oh, so presumably you could go and work contractually to say that although the Torah is Machai B'Pshia, but if he takes upon himself that this is not a Pshia, in other words, he says, the owner knows that I'm fully aware of what you've just disclosed to me, that you travel a lot, and that you put your things always in your knapsack, and or that you leave things with the younger children, and I'm willing to accept that. So then he waived his rights, and then he would be potter.
So what is? So we say always a shemachin is potter beginning of aveda. What's aveda then? It feels like aveda is pshia. If it lost, it got lost. Where does pshia end in aveda where the shemachin is potter begin?
Geneva is good.
Geneva is a human agent who actively goes and takes steals it, acquires it. But in case of aveda, is this pshia or is this aveda? Why is this pater of aveda?
I mean, if it falls out from his knapsack back,
it got lost. I didn't take it. It's not my rishus. I never used it.
But had it been in front of you, if it would fall out, you'd see it immediately. Right, if you would have it on an amulet around on your neck, or you weren't carrying a front pack,
right.
Anything that falls out, look what fell down, and you would pick it up immediately.
So pshia, but pshia is sort of bordering aveda, right?
And then each time that there's an aveda, you'd have to examine what were the facts, how did it get
wrong. So pshia itself about aveda type thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that was the explanation of the Mishnah, and from now on. Over the next few lines, we're going to go through a little bit of, if you will, agarata.
Just to answer this question, maybe pshia would be something more deliberate.
Pshia is considered to be totally negligent on his part. Not that he's a bad guy, he's just...
I'm meaning deliberate, meaning that he knows that there is a high risk of something happening.
Ignores it.
And I think the case of Aveda would be that he did everything in his control, but an accident happened and he lost.
That's onus, that's the point.
That's the next level.
This level is onus, so that you...
Shemachinim, Shemachinim, Shachar, and then Shoyal.
So if it's onus, it's an accident, then it's then even the Shemachar, Mishchaiv Aveda, is Pater Ben Onus. It's a different level of liability. It's a different color.
Earthquake, and as a result,
that's something unavoidable. But meaning, aveda would be that the person did put it away properly, but
how to get lost?
He banged on something and it just accidentally fell.
Things got lost in a safe deposit bag, so you have the news that it changed Manhattan.
That's theft. not lost. That's burglary.
Okay, we have to think about it.
That's Geneva. That's not Veda.
So now we get a little bit into
the deposit box. It stays in the safe deposit. It's safe.
Anyway, so we have now Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak had just told us that the tzar tekesa biyodcha, when it comes to Hilchos Shmirah, make sure that it's biyodcha, or at least it's in plain sight, as opposed to something that you lose sight of because it's in back of you. So the same Rabbi Yitzchak says, V'om Rabbi Yitzchak, lo'ilu miyei kaspei sh'lona motzi biyodai. A person should always have his cash readily available to him. So what does that mean, motzi biyodai? Says Rashi that he should not go and give it as a pikudin to others if they're b'mokim acher, if they are at some distance. See Rashi in the second line. Shem tizdamen lo yischoira lischar yeim mezumen lo. After all, people want to do business. They want to make money. People, for instance, in the diamond trade, you want to go and sell a diamond, you want to go and buy a diamond, etc. If it's all going to be in a safe deposit box, which is 3 miles away, by the time your customer comes, he goes, I'm going to have to go and pick it up. Please wait for me. Or if you want to go and buy something, hold off the closing, I just have to pick up the money. Where's my shema? Shema, where are you? Oh, you just traveled to Detroit. Well, will you be back? I'll be back tonight. I need the money now. So Reb Yitzchak says, your money, your cash, should be readily available to you. It should be in your hand, so that if and when there's a business deal, that you'll be able to quickly consummate the transaction. The best way to go and handle your business affairs is take a third of your funds and invest them in real estate. Real estate is the type of thing that presumably will go up in value if you're going to go and treat it nicely and not milk it or ruin it, as well as karka in nigzelis, it's present. Nobody can physically take it away. A third in schoira, different types of merchandise and things. And a third of it should be in cash. Once again, why should it be in cash? Says Rashi, just in case there happens to be a sudden opportunity to go and seize the moment, so you should have the money available. See Rashi, third line. Tachas yodei, fourth line. Liois mezumen lei letzoirech revach abo pesayim. Unexpectedly, there's a sale across the street. If you don't have the money handy now, you'll get there tomorrow. It'll all be over. You should always have cash readily available. Vom Rav Yitzchak, in a bracha mitzuyel b'dova samim min ha'ayin. Bracha is only things which are covered up from the regular eye, meaning you shouldn't have an ayin harach chas v'sholem, because when people see everybody, look at all this money, must be a rich man, then chas v'sholem, the ayin harach can attack and take away that person's funds. So what's the loshim, what's the rai basmech? The word basmech literally means in your silos or in your storage bins. Har Gemara is darshening the word basmecha from the word somui, like a suma, someone who's blind. So if you want to have a bracha basmecha, make sure that it's somui, that nobody sees the money, that it's not out in the open.
We have a I think, a halacha that when you bench, you have to have bread on the table, or crumbs of bread on the table. Isn't that so, sir, this Gemara? Because you have the thing, you want bracha of sustenance, of parnasa, and bread, and yet you have the thing present and visible.
The reason why it says that you leave some money on some bread on the table is that you want to show your hakaras hatoyv. Rabbeinu Shlom, you gave me all of this food, and I even have extra food left over because of the tremendous bracha that you gave me. So that we didn't eat up every single morsel, because Baruch Hashem, you gave us so much, we still have enough for next time, or if a guest come, we still have food. But we're not talking about small amounts of little bread or something that you leave as ceremoniously on the table. Here we're talking about that if a person has money, he shouldn't go and
flaunt it
and show everybody, go around in shul, when he takes out his wallet to go and give tzedakah, showing everybody that he has $25,000 bills there. Oh boy, it goes $1,000. I never thought $1,000. Well, they exist, believe it or not. Anyway,
how about the point, a wife's diamond?
Oh, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so you shouldn't flaunt your wealth. Keep it quiet. If you think about cases, unfortunately, I know about numerous cases where people had beautiful home. Once went to a house somewhere in Brooklyn, I won't identify which, was not Borough Park, doesn't matter. Anyway, and I saw the house from a mile away, you could see it was lit up from all sides, it was golden and beautiful. Wow, this is a real mansion. I said to people coming in, doesn't this person leave something for Olam Haba? He has to have everything in Olam Hazeh. Anyway, 6 months later, he was divorced from his wife. No, he wasn't bankrupt, but he never thought it was a divorce. The whole base of Jewish
stuff. Have bankrupt.
Yeah,
my mother Hashem say, don't live in a corner house. Don't.
That's one of the reasons why there's tremendous bracha here on the West Side, because people don't have private homes by and large. People only have apartments. So, what can you really do in an apartment? An apartment. But those people that have in fact invested tons and tons of money in their apartments, unfortunately, there are stories about things like that. There's a young couple here on the West Side, 30 years ago, whatever they meant. They took away walls and make walls of hin and the hair and the right and the left. And then one of the parties, unfortunately, developed a terrible machla. that we don't even want to mention the name. So the best thing is not to flinch you. But getting back to our Gemara now, so that was one drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak. Tanit v'Rabbi Shmuel, same type of drasha. In a bracha b'tzul, but that was she'inu ayin shel at this point. Make sure that the ayin doesn't see it. There's no ayin hara. Shenema tzav shem itchus of bracha b'asamach. So the Mefarshim explained that basically Rabbi Shmuel is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yitzchak. The only difference is how they type the word b'asamach. What Rabbi Shmuel is saying is you don't need to go and darshan with asamecha somui suma, which is a little bit, if you will, remote. That's not the definition of asamecha. He says the definition of asamecha is your storage bins, which by definition are not things that people see. Right? You want to put things away in storage, you put it in a bin, you close it up, you lock it up, and you don't see it. So just like the Pasuk says, put the bracha b'asamecha, because then ain't a ayin shalet this way. So the message is the same, it's only the question of how you derive that message. Is it from this drush of somui and asamecha? Or literally asamecha means, since it's in a storage bin, you don't see it, ain't ayin shalet this way. Tanu Rabban, ha'ilich lomad is geirani. A person wants to go measure his goyrin, how much he's taking, putting in, or taking from his goyrin, from his granary. Oymer, before he even begins, he's hoylech lomad, he should say, yirach l'fanecha, Hashem l'keinu, shetishla brachum amas yedeinu. Even before I arrive at the goyrin, halavai, there should be a tremendous bracha, should be a tremendous amount. Hischa lomad, when he starts counting and measuring, oymer, boruch ha-sheleach bracha b'kri hazeh. I thank Kodesh Baruch Hu that put a bracha in this kri. The Mefarshim explained the reason why one makes a bracha is not when you just go to the granary, but because now the grain has been processed and he's going to be mechuyev in trumos and maaseres. And so therefore, he is now making a bracha pre the trumos and maaseres, baruch, and they say that one should put in the full language, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam, not just baruch, hashaleach bracha b'kri hazeh, I thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, for putting in all this bracha in this kri, so that I'm now able to go and give Trumas and Maestres to the Kahanim and to the Levim. Modded the Akach Beirach, if he already measured it, and now he's making the bracha, how does it feel the show? It's already too late. If he's saying a bracha mitzvah, libidav ha-shokh, libidav ha-modded, libidav ha-monoi, libidav ha-somim min ha-ayin. Shenem itzav shem itchus, a bracha ma'asamecha. Basically the same as before. Before you knew how much it was, I thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Give the bracha, there should be a bracha. Once you've counted it already, it's too late. Hashem Yisbarach, of course, you can always make a nes, but you're not mispal for Nisim, you don't thank for Nisim, unless the nes has already occurred. But to go and say, oh, I know there happens to be volume here of 5,000 gallons worth, or 5,000 pounds, oh, halavai, it's 6,000. Sorry?
Bushels.
Oh, shkoyach, we did bushels, thank you. So the point is that you make your brachas and your tefillas before, your tefillas la'achar ha'mais is already too late. It's the same thing like Abbe, if a wife is pregnant, if it's the first 40 days, you can go and still be mispalel for a zohar. But if it's already after that, it's already decided whether it's a zohar or a kid. Okay, Omer Shmuel. Ksofim ein lehem shmira ele b'karka. The only way to do proper shmira for kesef, for money, is to put into karka, into the ground. That's the best hiding place, so to speak.
Does he mean invest it or
no,
bury it?
No, literally.
Bury it.
Not bury in the form of, you know, bury it forever.
No, but conceal it.
That would be a very grave situation, right, if you're burying it. But to conceal it in the ground. We learned in the Mishnah that you can go and be tsror and don't do it if it's shim l'choyrev, but you can go and do it b'yodechem, tzar tekesu b'yodcha. And here it says only b'karka. So the Mefarshim say this in Ishver. Our Shmuel is talking about a situation where the person is staying at home. He's not traveling. Oh, he's staying at home. The best place to put it is into the karka. If a person's traveling, then you don't want burglars to come in when everybody's away during vacation time, a person traveled. So then, if you take it with you, then make sure you put it in within your eyesight, not in the back, but in the front. Omer Rav, Omer Shmuel, but Shmuel agrees better of Shabbos if it's Friday. Karev to Ben Hashmash, it's already Mincha time. Tleyatrachu Rabbanan, then the Rabbanan do not require you to go and start digging a hole and putting the money in, because after all, it's almost Shabbos, a Chanush Katzait. However, Yishol a Motzah Shabbos, Shira the Mekvarinu, V'loi Kavrinu, if he waits on Motzah Shabbos, right after Havdolah, he should start going and making that hole and putting the money in. But if he waited and he didn't, in other words, he took about, well, another hour or two, then Mechuyiv, then Yisakim Mechuyiv. Because as soon as you get it, you're a proper Shomer, hide it immediately. You can't do it Erev Shabbos because it's too late. Fine, do Matzah Shabbos, but don't wait around. Right after Abdullah, start digging. However, eat Mitzurah upon who? However, if the mafkid, the owner of the funds, is a Talmud Chacham, then the Shoimer can wait a little bit. Maybe the person who owns the funds on Matzah Shabbos will realize, uh-oh, I didn't leave a couple of dollars for myself. I gave everything for Shmira. He didn't listen to Rabbi Yitzchak. It should keep monies in your hands. It should be Matzah B'yam. He's going to go need to go and buy some wine, etc. And since the Talmid Chacham are Makbid Davka to make Havdalah themselves as opposed to being Yoitza Havdalah from others, so you don't have to immediately be Koyverich, you can wait an extra half hour. Maybe he holds Rabbeinu Tam Shita, maybe he holds 90 minutes, by the time he gets home, so if I'm going to go and bury it, and he's going to knock on the door 5 minutes later, then I'm going to have to go and dig up the funds, so you can wait a little bit on Matzah Shabbos. For Idna, that was in the times of Shmuel, you put it Karka. With today, the Shlich Gishushoi, then unfortunately you have Gishushoi. Now, who are Gishushoi? If you look at Rashi, about 15 lines in, Gishushoi, Megashishin Bekarka, Beshbudin Shel Barzel, Lahakir Mokim Shetachtav Cholom. They go and take a Shbudin Shel Barzel, it's like a metal stick, or metal, Shbud is like a spit that they use in roasting in the rotisserie for barbecues, etc. So they would take such a metal spit, and they would go and be megashes. They would go and move around, touching the ground, to feel if any part of the ground feels more hollow than other parts of the ground. You know, typically, when you're walking around, everything is pretty solid. And then if you go with such a metal stick, hey, here it feels a little bit soft. And then you might go and dig it up. So then, in lem shmir el b'shmei koyre. Forget about it. No longer buried in the ground. Rather, put a shmei koyre. What's that shmei koyre? Rashi says that means in between the roof and the top beams of your ceiling, right before the roof. In between that, there must be some air space. That's the best place to go and put away the funds. For in the today, the shchichi frumoi. What are frumoi? Rashi says shoivrei hatikra. These burglars are bad guys. It's bad enough they go and dig up the ground. Now they go and break through your ceiling and through the beams. Then ein lehem shmira ela beni urvi. What you have to do now is put it in between the bricks. What means in between the bricks? So Rashi says ben shurois habinyan bekoisel. So the art school brings from some of the Mepharshim that in the good old days the walls were thicker than our typical walls are today, and they had two rows of parallel bricks, one next to each other. So not just one row of bricks, you know, going higher and higher and higher, but also to the width, you had one set of bricks, and then you had another set of bricks. What Rashi means to say
double
is
wall.
A double wall, a double thickness of a wall. So it means between one group of bricks and then the other group of bricks, in between that they had the mortar and the cement. So the shomer would have a hollowed out spot over there, and that's where he would deposit the funds against the potential ganav.
So the width of the brick was a tefach.
You're thinking of the beginning of Baba Basra.
I'm talking about Basra.
Yeah, we'll have it shortly, the difference in the different veinois and all the others. Very good. And then, Omer, Rabba, Umoide Shmuel Bekoisel. Shmuel Saka, Moide by Koisel. What is this different than the previous that we just said, Beni Orvi? That Shmuel loves, you don't have to dafka have such a thick wall and put it in between one set of bricks and the other set of bricks, but if you can squeeze it anywhere through the Koisel where there seems to be a nice hollow spot, insert it over there, you know, cover it up, and that's sufficient. However, in the shchichit tvuchai, however you have today, those people, Rashi says, metapchen bekoisel, they feel around, well, this sounds like it's hollow. Oh, this sounds like it's more solid. Oh, the hollow, that's probably where the money is hidden. They're going to open it up, and they're going to find the money. So they invite them over. And then, shmir al betevach hasamach lekarka, betevach hasamach leshmei koyer. Then the best place to go and put it would be all the way in the bottom of the wall, the tefach, which is closest to the karka, or all the way at the top of the wall, the tefach, which is closest to the ceiling. Apparently those are considered to be more solid. Certainly the one down below, it has to be very solid because you want that the wall should have a keel. It shouldn't collapse, chas v'shalom. So as you get closer to the floor, that's going to be a more solid part of the wall, and therefore the Gishushoi, or those people that are Tfuchoi, Frumoi, all these guys that are trying to tap against the wall, they'll feel at the bottom of the wall things are very, very solid, and they won't realize that you have inserted some money there on the bottom, and the same thing on the top. Now we're talking about, we're now in the Yemeha Pesach, tonight we learned in Mesechus Pesachim, Chomit Shenofel Olav Mapoilis. How do you kimavur? If you have chomits where there was never a building collapse, it doesn't have to be a full building, but there was some collapse over the chomits, now it's impossible to see the chomits. So even though normally when it comes Pesach, we have the famous rule of Bal Yiroh, Bal Yid Motzei, you don't see it, you won't find it. There's Nebuchadnezzar that collapses on top of the chametz. You won't find the chametz. You don't have to go and unearth it and find, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm Mekayim, the mitzvah of Sreifas chametz. It's like Sorif. Because of the fact that it's covered over, you're not going to have an issue with Bayiro Bayimotze. Pshim Gamliel Oimer, what is the shear that we're talking about? Kol She'ena Kelev Yochel Chapez Achrav. That if there is a dog that normally can go and sniff the chametz and cannot find it, and therefore will not find it, then that's mavur. How much is that? The Tana Kama Chapisis Akelev Gimel Tvachim, up to Gimel Tvachim. Ah, so then we see. Therefore, for the din of Bayiroa Bayimotze, it's enough to go and cover it up with three tvachim of mapoilus, of some sort of collapse. So Hachamai, what's the din over here too? Mibinish Loisha Tvachim Oilai. When you are putting it in the karka, like Shmuel said initially, or when you're putting it in the wall, do you have to go and push it in three tvachim, just like the case of the chomet? Or, as long as it's concealed, that's already enough. Amalei hasem yishem reicha be'inan gimel tvachim. Hachem yishem mechsuyei me'ena le'be'inan gimel tvachim. When you're talking about the case of the chomet, the reason why we gave gimel tvachim is very simple. Since Reb Shimon Gamliel gave the shir about the kelev yochel lechapis achrav, how does a kelev know that there's food over there? You think the kelev has a tzeruach hakodesh or something. He smells it, there's food. Up to three tvachim and less, then he smells the food. Once it's more than three tvachim, even the kelevim cannot smell it, so therefore that's enough. And you don't have to worry about bayiro, bayimotze, that the kelev might decide to unearth it for himself or for his mishpucha or for like the achborim, the rishoyim, for their good friends. Cover it up three tvachim. Hach over here, the ikir is kisui me'ena, to go and hide it in such a way that a ganef won't easily find it. Lo yibeinu gimel tvachim. The kamer, how much do you need? Rav from Yisechra, tefach. You have to put at least a tefach in case of the floor or in the case of the walls. At least you have to push it in a tefach and then you cover it up so that hopefully the ganef will not find it. Havu gavre the afkid zuzi gabi chavrei. We had this gemara already before. The gemara didn't bring the actual gemara, but the Rashi, you remember, we had this a few days ago. Havu gavre the afkid zuzi gabi chavrei. A person gave a pikadon of money to his chavre. Please watch it. Oisvinu betzrifa de urbani. He had apparently in his backyard or in his lawn or whatever, he had a small tzrif. Tzrif is like a hut made out of urbani, made out of a ravois. What was the purpose of such a hut? In other words, it was similar in a sense like a sukkah, but it was used typically for tzayodei oifoi, says Rashi. Those that wanted to go and capture oifis, they used that as a temporary enclosure. They would presumably hide there at certain times during the day, and when they saw a good oif, a good bird, they would try to go and net it and try to catch it. So he went and hid the funds in the street for the orbani. And guess what happened? Ganav came, ignav, and it was stolen. So what's the din? Umar of Yosef. This was a good case of Shmira. Why is it a good case of Shmira? Because Ganovim typically do not bother looking at the Srifa of the Orvini, because they say, come on, who would hide money over there? Such a flimsy type of hut. You know, he must have hid it underneath the ground and in the wall of his house. So even though the Gabe Ganovim is considered to be a good Shmira, then you Nurab Shiusi. When it comes to a fire, then this would be a terrible, terrible pshia, because you just light one match and the whole, it's like a haystack, and in that 1 second the whole thing would burn to a crisp. Sahava, so what? Therefore, what is it such a case? It's tchilusa b'pshia. It's a pshia legabe, the case of the nura legabe, the fire. The seif b'oinus, the fact that it was stolen, that was an oinus. Nobody in his right mind could have assumed that a ganef would go and steal it. And what's the loch? It's chilusa b'oinus is chayv. However, it could be Amru, but there's another version. The Alpha Gavul Inyan Nur Rav Shimshi, even though putting it in such a haystack and such a straw or narova type of sukkah of sorts, that's a pshia. That's come on, we got fire would consume the whole thing in a minute. Inyan Ganvi Natirusi, loss of pshia. So Ivoinis is potur. So what's stuck in the loch? The loch is loss of pshia. So Ivoinis is chay. Stuck a machloik is between these two versions. And the Gemara concludes loss of pshia. So Ivoinis your chay.
Why is it so for bonus? It was Geneva, it wasn't onus.
But the Gemara is saying the likelihood of someone even thinking that it's Sufa de Urbani is in 1 in 1 million. A normal Ganef knows, I'm not going to even bother looking over there. Why would it be there? He was going to go, to try to bring it to more modern day terms. If a Ganef is looking around in a house, he will expect to find the jewelry and the money in the master bedroom of the husband and wife. He's not going to expect to go and find in the nursery where the toddler is crying and there's diapers and stuff like that. You don't expect to find it in the diaper box that they hid the jewelry and the money. So that's why it's said to be an oinus that apparently the burglar stayed around for an extra few hours. The person went away and so he checked every square inch and now he said, there must be money somewhere. Oh, he goes to the chief of the Urbani, I found it. It's a normal shomer. I'm sorry?
We have examples with Hamas hiding their weapons and everything in babies' cribs and their mattresses and whatever.
And that's why they're terrorists. That's 100% right. But in the good old days, people didn't hide. I'm sure even Hamas doesn't hide their jewelry and the money inside.
Their weapons, they don't care about the jewelry.
I understand. So if in fact you decide to go and give a pikodin to a Hamasnik, and then afterwards, and the pikodin that you're giving happens to be a weapon, then it would be very likely to go and find it in the nursery.
And very unlikely to bring it to Bezin.
Yeah, exactly. However, if you gave him money, then you wouldn't expect it to find it in the diaper box. You would expect to find it in some good account where it's concealed under somebody else's name or something.
Thank you.
Anyway, continuing on the one. Hahu gabro di afkid zuzi gabi chavre, person who again left zuzi with his chavre, omolei havli zuzai. I'd like to have my money back. In other words, he told him, I'm going to hold it for a week. A week later, no, give me the money back. Omolei lo yidana hechisvinam. I can't remember where I put it. I know I put it somewhere, just can't find it. Asla kam gadova, omolei kol lo yidana pshuusi. Anytime a shaman says he doesn't know where it is, that's the inlecha pshia gadova. So, zil shlem, you got to go and pay. What do you mean you have no record, you don't know where it is? You know, what are you taking things for shmir if you don't know what you're doing? Right, Hahu Gavra, the Afkid Zuzi Gabi Chavre, person left money with his chavre, Ashlamin Li'ime, and that person gave it to his own mother. He apparently was going away, and he gave it to his mother to watch.
Ashlamin is Lashon what?
Ashlamin means to hand it over.
Okay.
Rashi says Musran. You see four lines from the bottom. Ashlamin Musran. No problem. He transferred the funds to his mother. Oizvinu Bikartalis. She in turn took those funds and she put it, says Rashi, in an argos. Argos was like a jewelry box of sorts, you know, a place, a box, a chest where you go and put valuable stuff. The Ignav, and then unfortunately there was a Geneva and somebody stole the Ganze Kartalis and stole all that money. Omer Rav, Heichin Adayin Adayin Lahaydina. Now this is a complicated halach over here, says Rav. What are we going to do? Namely today, should we go and say to that fellow who was the Shoimer, who gave it to his mother, Zil Shlim, go and pay? Omar, he said, I didn't do anything wrong. Kol ha-mafkid al-das ishtu banavu mafkid. Anybody that leaves a bikodin with someone, he doesn't have to ask any questions. It's automatic. He understands it's not only the shoimer, but the shoimer with his immediate family. And even though Ravi uses the expression ishtu banav, that means even the mother. Anybody that's a bala seichel who lives in that household, gedolim, you can rely on them. So I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, the name of the ime, mami, zili shlimi, you should go and pay. Why? Because she didn't put it into the karka, she didn't put it into the wall, she didn't put it in the shmei kaira, she just left it in the karthalisa. Omra, she said, li omali, my son didn't tell me the lab di day ninu, that it didn't belong to him, the akbarinu, that I should go and bury it in the ground. He didn't say a word, he just gave it to me and said, mami, can you hold on to these funds? I thought it was his. So name ulay. Now let's go back to the son and say, Amayli Amrele, why didn't you go and say to your mother that these happen to be special Shmira funds? It's a pikodoin, and watch them carefully and be kaiva them. Omar, so the son says, Kolshken, I thought to myself, if she's going to think that the money is mine, she's going to even be more careful than if she finds out that the money belongs to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Because after all, it's her own son, and it's his money. It's almost like her money.
She lived in the same house as he did, obviously. Why? Because if she lived in the same house, she's part of his household. In the extended family,
that's why it's okay to give it to her.
No, I'm saying, but she, if she's not living in his house,
right?
If she's living in his house, yeah, then she's under the category of his household,
and therefore
she then it would be Geneva, it'd be exempt. Yeah. But if the question is, she's a shomer, she was in the shomer type situation. Mm-hmm. If she's a different location,
what you're saying is correct, but the Gemara has addressed that on the top line. The Gemara said on the bottom, the Omer Av. What do you say? Name a living today. Are you to tell the Shoimer, you're a Shoimer, Shemasa the Shoimer, and therefore what you did is wrong? No. Says the Gemara, Zilshlim, go and pay. No. Anytime you give a Shoimer, automatically you have the intention, the Shoimer and the extended family, those that live under one roof or live very, very close. Including the mother.
Okay.
So therefore he's off the hook. But now the question is, but the mother shouldn't be off the hook. Why did she put it into Katlisa? She should have buried it. So she said, I didn't know that this was a Mikotin. He didn't say anything. So now we're asking the son, why didn't you tell her it's a Mikotin? He said, I figured if I don't say anything, she'll think it's my money. She'll even be more careful. How was I supposed to know? So therefore, the Gemara is saying is, neither engaged in Pshia. Each one meant well. And therefore, the question is, what's the halacha? Hello, Marabba. Mishtabe Ihu. He should make a shvur da no zuzi ashlamin al-ime, that he did not retain the funds, but that he gave it to his mother, which the Gemara said is totally permissible. Or Mishtabe Ime, and the mami should go and make a shvur da no zuzi usvinu bekartalisa, that she put it into her argos, into her chest there. The ignavena was stolen, upatan, they'll both be potter, because it will be clear that neither was poishea, the mother didn't know that this were, that these were a pikotin funds. The husband, the son didn't say anything because the son figured, if I don't say anything, she'll think it's mine. She'll even be more careful. So everybody did it with a good conscience and with the right intentions and all the rest. And unfortunately, Gnevis will happen, but it wasn't the Pshia. They're off the hook.
But she isn't.
Whether he tells her or not, it seems negligence on his part, because it depends on the item. For instance, you have a weapon in your house, a gun. Like, you know, Israelis who have guns, they have to put them in a locked.
You know, I hear you loud and clear. At the beginning of the Gemara,
if you know there are children walking around or other people walking around, whether they're adults or not,
that's also negligent.
It's negligent, even if you tell them what it is.
You're 100% right. So that's why the Gemara began. Who gave the Afkid Zuzi? Didn't give him any weapons, no artillery, no guns, no nothing. He gave money. Question is, what do you do with the money?
Children can get into anything unless you.
For sure. That's why she put it into her special argos, where the children don't normally get to. But unfortunately, the Ganavim did get to it, and they stole the kartalisa together with the money. Now the Gemara tells us yet another story. Zokti
Moravaiter.
Ahu Apotropa. There was an Apotropa, the Yasmi, a guardian of Yosaimim, the Zavalahu that bought for them a Tura Liasmi, a shor. In other words, an axe for the Yosaimim. What are the Yosaimim going to do with that axe? They're going to use it for plowing the field, etc. Umasri the Bakr. So now the Apotropos temporarily gave it to the Bakr. Bakr is a roya of Bakr, a shepherd, but not of sheep. A shepherd for Bakr. I'm sorry?
A rancher.
That's the name of a rancher? No, it's not a rancher. Good. Anyway, Lehavu Lekichi Vishani. As we will find out momentarily, nobody knew that this shor didn't have teeth. Lemechel, to be able to go and eat. And therefore, the roya gave food to this shor, like to all the other shvarim. All the other shvarim prospered nicely because they had a lot of food. This, unfortunately, was not able to eat, and you would have to go and give enshor or some sort of liquid, but he didn't realize that. Guess what he'll miss? And never the animal died. So now the question is, who is going to pay for this negligence or for this occurrence? So Omer Rav Barchama, Heichin Adayin Adayin L'Haydina. How are we going to be done this case? Name of the Apotropos, should we say to the Apotropos, Zilshlim, you have to go and pay the assignment for the loss by buying an animal that has no teeth and giving it to the Roy and not advising him. Omar, he said, I'm not the backer, Mr. Tia. I gave the animal to the Roya, to the rancher, and my assumption is that the roya knows that he has to go and take care of it. I mean, he gets paid for being a shepherd, for being a rancher, and so he knows he's got to take care. If he allowed this animal to fast because he didn't give proper food, a liquid diet, because it had makich mishini, he's responsible. Don't look to me, look to the roya. Okay, name a little bakra. So let's go to the bakra and say to him, Zil Shlim, you should have been more careful. Didn't you realize you have to give a liquid diet? Omar, so the roya says, says the bakra, you know, I have 10, 20, 100 such animals. I put this animal together with all the others. I stood it up and placed it together with all the other animals. And I threw oichel to it like to all the others. They had a large trough or a large place of where they're able to graze and to eat. Whatever. How was I supposed to know? I didn't know the loyachal that it's on a fast, that it cannot eat because it doesn't have any teeth. So Zokti Gemara, so what do you want from my life? Zokti Gemara, Mechti Bakra, Shem Esochid, Yasmihu. The Bakra is getting paid for his services, and that being the case, he's a Shem Esochid. If he's a Shem Esochid, boy, let the unit. Shouldn't he be inspected and taken a look and made sure? So tomorrow, he could say to the Yasmi, oh, so Zokti Gemara, so the Shem Misach is the guy that has to pay. He should have been more careful. He should have watched out this particular shard to make sure that it's eating with all the others. Zokti Gemara, Iikab said the Asmi Hachanami. In fact, if the Asoimim were had to incur a loss, you're 100% right. We would go and nail the Bakra and say, you were negligent in not making sure that the animal is eating properly. You should have realized. And therefore, if there would be a Hefzat to the Asoimim Hachanami, you're right. The Bakra will be on the hook.
But isn't the negligence on the person who gave the animal? Because if it's not...
You'll see the Gemara is going to talk about your swar another month. You are two steps ahead of us. You're mechavan to all the amayroim and shas. Okay? So where's the din Torah over here? To lekab say to the asmi, there was no hefzit to Yisrael. Why? Dashkechu the mori detura. They found the original owner of the shor, the Shokli Yasmi Zuzumirei. And they said to him, Mister, you sold us a mekach toos. You sold us defective goods. The apotropis paid you $500 for this shor. A shor without teeth is only worth $200 or whatever.
So you didn't get the apotropis didn't get a discount.
Clearly not.
The price shows he didn't get a discount.
And therefore,
he was cheated.
And therefore, the assignment were cheated. So right. The assignment's money. So they found who the Mori Datura was. They took him to Bezin and they got their money back. Oh, so then there was no hefzet to the assignment. So, for example, Eleman Kotoin. So, what's going on over here? You said that Rami Brachama had a Din Torah, and how am I supposed to go and decide a Din Torah? If the assignment had already gotten paid, so we're done. So, what's the Shiloh here? Eleman Kotoin. Who is the plaintiff in this litigation? He is the one that is complaining now and saying, I'm now out of pocket because I had to go and pay the assignment. So Frey Timura, he's out of pocket, he's complaining. He should have gone and told us, my moedin lay, may the other the mekach toyes ava. He shouldn't complain that people should have advised him, you should know your shor is not eating with it. He owned the property, he owned the shor, so then how can he complain about them? If anything, all complaints should go to him, not he should complain about others. So Timur and the Mechat, he should, made the other Mechat, so Timur is talking about Bisaf Sira. So Mehacho Maz bin Lohacha. Today in Eretz Yisrael, I think they use the term Safsir to mean a broker. Here it doesn't mean a broker, here it really means a flipper. What's a flipper? He bought the shor with the intention of flipping it and selling it the very same day. So that Safsira, that Murid Torah, who was only the owner for an hour, two or three, he didn't even know.
He didn't check it.
He didn't check it. He just knew that it's being sold for $500. He had a customer that's willing to go and pay $550. He buys the thing, sells it.
It was his responsibility in case of mishap to check it.
Right. Even though he was a broker, he's selling defective merchandise.
He gave us coin at the animal, he sold the animal.
Right, it's his animal, he sold a defective animal.
He sold a defective animal, but he bought it. I don't know if it's in the contract, where is as this type of thing, but what he sold, he was not moedia to anybody, because he himself did not know. He was just a flipper. He got it in the morning, 10 o'clock, he got him. See if he was sure.
No, he should have been.
Okay.
Byron knows that he doesn't know. Byron knows that he's only 2 hours.
Okay. Anyway, so how did Rabbi Muhammad finally decide the case? Hilkach Mishtabi Iyu. Hilkach Mishtabi Iyu Deloy Havi Yoda. He, the seller, the safsar, he makes a shua that he didn't know. Ultimately, the one that is shildik, that is guilty over here, is the bakra, the roya, the shepherd, the rancher. Why is he shildik? Because he should have realized that this animal is not eating. The safsar didn't know the animal was not eating, but he should have known. By the way, the safsar paid the assignment already. So you're right, the safsar should have known, and that's why the safsar had to pay the assignment. But now the safsar wants the mori, the tura.
He's suing the rancher.
He's suing the rancher. He wants to get his money back. He said, okay, it's true, I didn't tell them, but I didn't tell them because I didn't know. Who did know? The roya. That's the reason why the animal died. So now, bakra, you pay me. Now, Rashi points out that the bakra had no relationship, no business relationship with the original, with the safsar, the seller.
It's Rav Nassim Shibet.
Well, similar. So Rashi says that this is similar to the Mishnah we had early on in our parak with Rabbi Yossi, that if you have a soicha por lechaveir v'shila li'acher, the Tanakhama said that the soicha could make money on it, because the soicha is going to be off the hook because it was Mesa Kadarka.
Right.
But the shoyl is going to have to go and pay the soicha for the oinsen. And then Rabbi Yossi said, how can you allow? How can you go make schoira with somebody else's schoira? Right. After all, it's not his. He just rented it or leased it for a day or for a week, and he's going to now become a millionaire. He's going to own now the
10
the
times
he
did this.
He cashes in the insurance on the on a rented car.
Exactly.
Anyway. Wouldn't it make more sense to treat this as separate cases instead of treating it as all one
and therefore,
incident?
Mm-hmm. Therefore,
because the person that took over the animal, take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his problem. It has nothing to do with who sold the animal to the person who gave the animal.
Was, he didn't see
animal
the
for him. These are different. These are two different incidents. You know, mm-hmm. like you take care of your business with him.
Mm-hmm.
This is just between me and you, and I'm not responsible because you didn't tell me.
But his negligence was he didn't take care that the animal was eating properly. He was supposed to take care of the animal. Taking care of the animal means not that he checks its.
But the negligence.
He didn't see the animal wasn't eating, and it's the point where it died. So that's a negligence that the bakra, the rancher, should have been aware of. That's why he's.
No, the negligence is not on the rancher. The negligence is on the person who gave him the animal that is under a special. That needs special
diet.
It's special care.
It's a vegetarian.
He should tell him because the rancher is assuming that, you know, it's a
normal animal.
It's a normal animal.
Right, but he was actually getting paid. The difference is the rancher is getting paid to take care of the animal.
Yeah, but unless you know that there's a special circumstance, it's like also with a child. You take a child to daycare and.
Yeah. It's peanut allergies.
Yeah, and you don't say anything, you know, like.
You're gonna check. Right.
You're gonna check, like, every child. If you don't say anything, you just assume that's that the child has a normal diet.
So the bottom line is, this is an actual fact pattern that actually occurred as opposed to a theoretical. And what happened was there were two din tayers. Din tayer number one, that the assignment were out of pocket, the $500 that they paid for the shard, and the safsar, the owner, had sold them defective goods. And as you pointed out, even though he didn't know that it was defective, but he is the seller. He's giving them a warranty.
Because of the profession.
Regardless. Exactly. It goes with the profession. So bottom line is they got their money back. So now what is Rabbi Bachman now dealing with? He's gotten paid. Oh, the safsar, that is the previous owner that sold these goods to the apotropa, says, but nobody told me that it was defective. And what caused this animal to go and die? The bakra. The bakra didn't do a good job. Let the bakra go and pay me. The question is, but there was no relationship between the two. So Rashi says, this is not unlike the earlier Mishnah that we had in our parak. If you want to take a quick look at the Rashi, Rashi is very gishmak. It's about a quarter down the Omud. Umbashalim bakra demei bosser bizar. Utmeani, says Rashi, I don't understand. Minayla Rabbi Bachama din zeh. Are you with me? Yeah. Ma loy lesafsira im haraya. What does he have to do with the shepherd? He's not my shepherd. I didn't hire him. So how could he go and sue a third party? Nearly the masis and the soicha apar the chaveroi v'shil the acher umesik adak v'yomer Rabbi Yosi yach the par lebalim v'ukim na lochik Rabbi Yosi. What do we see from that mishnah? Alva afu pisha ain a balim bali dvorim shel shoyu v'soicha shu loy bal dvorim ain echaser kolum shari pata ba'intzin. So we had a situation where the owner has a contractual relationship with the soicha. The soicher is off the hook because he's potter ba'intzin. We have a third party, the shoyl, who has no contractual relationship with the owner, and nevertheless, a filo hachi hol v'yesh le'din al hashoyl ligvois yamda balam rishoyl mem koyimoy v'goyim min hashoyl. Einachanami, the soicher has a contractual right vis-a-vis the shoyl, but Rav Yosi says it's not fair that the soicher should go and make money on Yenim's para. So therefore, automatically, we're transferring according to Rav Yosi the legal rights that the soicher has against the shoyl. He's coughing them up, he's giving them to the original balim. Therefore, the balim are able to go and use the soicher's rights of litigating and suing and getting paid, and they use it for themselves. Hachanami says, Rashi, hoil the yeshli yosayim ligvois min haroya, shuun soim mezachish olehem. The yosayim don't have to go after the roya, because they've already gotten paid. Yamdu balim amokam yosayim v'goyim, said the original owner, the safzer who sold, he takes over the rights of the yosayim, and he can be goyim. Umil, says Rashi, you have a mitzvah the yosayim, if the yosayim were out of pocket, and they were the plaintiffs in this litigation, lo yo'isib shorim amomim yosayim v'shalim bizol. We haven't really explained yet what the ultimate outcome is, but the Bakra is paying to me, Basa Bezal, meaning he's only paying 2/3, he gets a third discount. So if it was Yisoyimim, we wouldn't give a discount. The Yisoyim have a right to go and demand payment of every last penny. It's not a full-fledged Pshia, says Rashi. The Omer Bahadi Tiroya Kimte. I mean, this is what I do every day for a living. I'm a roya. I have 100 shvarim. I put them all next to the trough. They all eat deliciously, and they all afterwards, they licked their lips. Ah, that was geschmack and fine. I have to check every single one of them individually. Did you eat? Did you eat? Did you have kumpot? Did you have dessert? Did I give you enough? Did you have that? Hey, just, you know, it goes along with the rest of the flock. So they made ashtikl pshara. You don't have to pay the full amount as if it was still alive, because it's already dead. First you give the skin to the balim. And you have to pay 2/3. Rashi is just telling us whenever the Gemara uses this expression of the mebos and bezoil, it always means 2/3 out of the 3/3. You always give a 1/3 discount. So getting back to our Gemara, so now, remember, the Yisoyim got paid in full. Now we have that the Safser, the owner, says, but the Bakr should have told me. Says Rashi, even though there's no contractual relationship, he goes and inherits, if you will, the relationship of the Yisoyim, because the Yisoyim could have sued the Bakr, but the Yisoyim had been paid in full. So he now gets they transfer to him. Their legal rights against the Bakra. So he sued the Bakra. But the Bakra has a decent argument saying, you know, I wasn't Peshia. I just treated this shore like all the other thousands of shorim that I've had for the last 20 years. I didn't treat it any differently. So that's, you know, it sounds like a reasonable argument. So because of that, since he has an argument. So we're going to make up Shara, not 50-50, but it's going to be 2/3, 1/3. So getting back to the end over here. Is Hilkach Mishtabi Iudli Havi Yoda? We're going to have the Bakra, the Safser is going to make a shwar that he didn't know that there was a problem with the teeth because he only owned it for an hour or two. Mishab Bakra, and he's going to go and pay to the Safser, to the owner, to make Basar Bezoil, which is 2/3, like Rashi explained. And that's the end of this story.
Why pay Basar?
Yeah, what's up?
I don't understand why the Gemara doesn't make a distinction between the Bakra that takes care of a cattle and a Bakra that takes care of one cow, because it's obviously very, very different. If it's only taking care of one animal,
then he should have been very, very careful.
Then there's clear negligence. He doesn't have an excuse to say that.
No excuse whatsoever. He comes back an hour later, nothing has been eaten. Why didn't he eat it? Because the animal has no teeth.
But it doesn't make this distinction. It seems that it's treating both as just the same, if it's a Bakra of 100 or if it's one.
This is not a theoretical case. This was an actual case that came from the Rav Hama. And the Bakra said, Bahadi Turi Yukimta, I put it there among all the others. So it's clear from the this was a Masa Shehoyah, that there were at least 5, 10, 20 others.
Is there a distinction between...
There would be such a distinction if it's only one animal and you come back to the trough and you see it's still full to capacity. Obviously there's a problem. Either there's a problem with the stomach or the problem with the teeth or a problem with the seichel. There's got to be a problem with this animal. So then it would be a pshia.
What's kibi? I was wondering, kibi vishini, shini are teeth. What's kibi? Kibi?
When everyone says kich vishini, that means teeth and gums. We're missing the whole
oral cavity.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, if he knows that the Bakra is taking care of a bunch of animals, isn't it his responsibility to tell? Because he already knows that he's not gonna. He should assume that he's not gonna notice because there are too many things going on.
He didn't know either.
The Safsa doesn't know.
There's no anything about animals.
What the apotropus is gonna do? He just sold it to the apotropus. This is the guardian. The guardian might hand it over, as you said, to a roy that only has one animal, or no animals.
No, but I'm saying in this case that he knows that he's taking care of a whole cattle.
He
knows that, that
the Safsa doesn't know that. Safsa
he knows that he's not gonna look because he knows that, that he's gonna treat like all the other animals.
Yeah, but he doesn't even know who the Bakra is. He doesn't even know who the rancher is. He just knows Apotropis bought it. Who did he buy it from? Made for himself? For outside? He doesn't know. And then that Apotropis went and hired this fellow Bakra. There are probably 12 other Bakras in town. One of them only has 2 animals. The other has 100 animals. And so he chose whoever Bakra he wanted.
Also, you want to see if the animal was sold for plowing or for slaughter.
Okay.
That's another thing too.
Right.
Okay.
So
yeah, we're
getting
price.
Back to your question.
Look at the price, though.
The reason why he gets the meibasim is because since the animal is already dead, so it's not a live animal. Yeah. So what is the value of the basar? Whatever it is, he has to go and pay him 2/3 of that to the original safsar.
Is that kosher basar?
It's certainly treifa, no question.
Yeah, so it's even lesser value now. It's only for dog food.
Yeah, 100%. That's the pshara. That's the pshara, the compromise.
It's dog food prices, 2/3 of that.
If the cow's not eating because of the teeth problem,
right.
this is something that it would probably not look the way it would look like the other cows. It would probably be like Taro's dream, it would be the ones that devour the good ones.
Maybe just had lost its teeth the day before. Anyway, you're right. If it was such a scrawny, if it never had teeth from birth until now,
it's been a problem that's persisted even for a short time. It would not be normal looking.
Okay, so what can I tell you?
There are other things they should have noticed.
In the next Art Scroll edition, there's going to be pictures of the cow, and we'll see whether it was scrawny or not, or whether it was thicker or was thinner. Ahu gavra, the avkid kishusa gabi chavre. Kishusa are called haps. Haps is a major ingredient that you put into beer. So the person that gave a pikkudin of haps to his chavre to hold on to. How did they nami kairdish kishusa? And he himself also had a heap of such haps for purposes of brewing beer. Good, so he kept it and fine, no problem, I'll take good care of it. Now, the next day, a week later, whatever, the Shomer Omalil Sarsa, he told his shamas, he told the person that's doing his cooking, his baking, whatever, may hi Rami, do me a favor, you see over here I have this heap of hops, I want you to take from that 20 hops or whatever it is, to put into the beer, and it's going to be Gishmaka beer, I want you to do that. Okay. Ozal, the Sarsa, went and Rami Meidach, he took from the other pile, from the pile that didn't belong to his owner, to his master, but rather to the mafkid, the one that had left the pikkudin.
Was it a miyuchad place? Was it
definitely? Okay, well, you'll soon see. Omrav Amram, Eichin Adayin Adayin Laidin. What are we going to do over here? Name of the day, Zilshlim. Should we go and tell him, meaning the Shomer, 20 of the hops were taken and were used, go and pay him for the hops? Omer, I know Amri Leil Mehai Rami. I told my shamis, go and take from my pile. I didn't tell him to take from the other pile. I told him from my pile. My fault that he took from the other one.
What's the difference? Hops are hops.
It's a commodity. It doesn't matter.
Everybody say, all of these items, everything that you're saying, the Gemara is going to address. Namely, the Sarasay, should we say to the Sarasay, Zilshlim, listen, you did a pshia over here. And in fact, it was more than just a pshia. You willfully defied, misappropriated. After all, your master told you to take from this one. Why did you take from the other one? Omar, le omaldi, mehai rami, mehai loitermi. He just told me this one. I thought he was like a marim mokum hulai. He suggested taking from this pile over here. I saw the other pile at the other end of the warehouse or whatever it was, and that looked to me like it was more geschmack, or maybe it looked to me like it was going to go bad, whatever. So I took some. He didn't tell me not to take from the other one, he just told me to take from this one. But I didn't assume that it was, you know, you're holding Valyavar, you have to take from this one. He just thought, it's just a suggestion. If in fact that these were in two different locations, where it's going to take longer for him to take from the other heap of hops than from the one that belongs to his master, and he didn't bring it to him immediately, must be that the owner, that the master, he should, when I say the master over here, the shoimer, he should have realized, I told him to take from this heap of hops over there, to go to bring it to my brewer here in at home. Should have only taken him 2 minutes to collect it all together. How come it took him 20 minutes? Seems like he didn't follow instructions. He must have taken it from the other heap. So then he knows. There was no difference in time because the two heaps were next to each other in the same room. This was in the right corner, this was in the left corner. So in terms of the time interval, it was really meaningless. So for Timur, yes, the question that Rabbi asked already a minute ago, 2 minutes ago, Seif might say to Ika, for Kamishtar Shile, it's very simple. If he took 20 hops and he put into his beer, okay, so let him pay back from his own hops. You know, it's, you know, neither Kenegan, neither Mamish, whatever it was, he took a pound of hops, he took 20 hops, he took whatever, a gallon, whatever it is, he should pay it back. What's the gun to Shiloh over here? Oh, I'm a son of Rey Derava, to have a Shikra, Chala. Unfortunately, the Sheikh didn't turn out good. It was sour, and it turned to vinegar. And now, by putting in those hops, it doesn't say that the hops caused it to become to vinegar. It's saying that they were brewing the beer. They threw in these hops. As far as the Shoimer is concerned, it was just a total loss, because he cannot use the Sheikh, and he cannot use the hops. So you're saying, let him go and pay back from his own hops. I'm sorry. If he would have gotten the benefit, Mishtar Shile, then I can understand. There's no Shiloh here. He got the benefit of 20 hops, pay back 20 hops. He didn't get any benefit at all because this lousy beer, nobody could even drink it. It was, who knows, it may have been rancid, whatever. And Ravashi gives a similar shot. Ravashi Omar, Bikisi. What means Bikisi? Says Rashi that the hops that he gave him were full of thorns. And as a result of being full of thorns, inferior quality hops. His hops, however, were good quality. And therefore, says the Gemara, Mishalim Lei, he doesn't just give him 20 hops, can I get 20 hops? He gave me,
I took Ilias instead of Zaburius.
Exactly. So Mishalim Lei, what he has to pay him is the Mekis, he says, Rashi, top Rashi, the Mekishus, Shul Koitzim, Lafi Mash Ishbiach. Whatever these Kisi were able to go, these hops were able to go and improve the Sheikher, if they would have been good, idiotic type of, then it would have gone up in value in terms of, oh, a real geschmack of beer, you can go and sell it for a nice price. But since he gave inferior hops, which are full of thorns, so it was only mashbiach habisala, so whatever shevach that it was mashbiach, that he has to go and pay back to the original owner, to the mafkid, because that's the loss that he has incurred, and that's the benefit that he incurred. He got the benefit of the shvacha hops, so he pays him back the value of the shvacha hops. And with this, we finish for today. Thank you all for listening. To be continued until tomorrow, approximately 7:45. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you.